This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Hear myself? Can you hear me? Kermit, I can't hear myself now. Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. I'm hoping that I can hear myself. Not hearing it through the microphone though still, Kermit. But today is Thursday, March 19th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. We're going to have an open line Thursday. Some guests canceled, so we're going to be talking about one or two things. Okay, I can hear myself now, Kermit. Thanks very much. I have one or two things I want to discuss, actually hash out. So I need the listening audience to bear with me as I hash it out. Then I want you to come and join in and to see if what I'm talking about does it make sense, or is whether it's utter foolishness, or whether I'm reaching, right? But I can need you, those people who in the know, those people who are on the ground, who watches and analyze things, to call in, to text in, to help me flesh this out. I'm going to be talking about boundaries, the Boundaries Commission, and the election. They're similar, but I'm trying to flesh out something that I notice that I'm not sure if other people notice, and I'm trying to reach out and connect to those other people who tend to watch things. Now, I didn't do much research on it. This is going to be one of those surface type conversation. So don't judge me too harshly, because it's a surface type conversation. But the conversation is going to be genuine. It means that I sincerely notice something, and I want to know if you sincerely notice the same thing. So let's start with calling one or two constituencies. These are what I've noticed. We can start off with Kalani. I wondered if anyone noticed that Kalani has some of its constituencies, no, sorry, its polling divisions moved. I wonder if some of you noticed that Kalani had some of its polling division moved and was moved into the new constituency, St. James. And I was going back and watching and in terms of Googling the outcomes and trying to find out what what polling divisions was moved out of Killarney and placed in St. James. And I want you to follow me here, because I believe that there was some manipulation. I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm just saying that the fixing of the boundaries for a reason. And this is what the conversation is about. What is the reason? I'm going to say what I think. And then I want you to call and tell me what you think. The boundaries that I noticed that was moved out of Killarney were what I call diehard PLP supporters' seats. And I said, why would the powers that be, I'm not saying this is the government, the powers that be, agree to move what I call like two or three polling divisions that was what I call a PLP stronghold that they could have used, and I can call her name, that Ms. Langs could have depended on. But they moved it out of Killarney and placed it into St. James, leaving more what I call Effingham stronghold polling divisions in Killarney. Remember, I made an argument before, and I said I don't think the PLP is helping Ms. Langs enough. They're promoting a Hubert menace agenda in their speeches and their talks. And I said, this is odd. Because the first political party tends to promote the opponent. And I wonder why is that. Then I noticed that they move the stronghold PLP polling divisions out of Killarney and place it into St. James. I'm hoping more likely to help Owen Wells, and we all know that Owen Wells is a lawyer. I'm not sure which law firm he used to work for. Of course I know. I'm not sure which law firm he used to work for, but somebody is helping him out by putting more PLP polling divisions there. And that's things I noticed. Then I looked at Killarney again, then realized that part of Fort Charlotte, now, you know, it's a big controversy with Travis Robinson and Sebastian Bastian, right? Whether who's going to win Fort Charlotte. And I said, but most parts of Fort Charlotte has what I call that white grove moving west, which tends to be proponents of the Free National Movement. And then they have the inner city parts also would tend to be PLP. I've noticed that, and I want to know if you notice, callers, a listening audience, that they have also moved parts of strong FNM strongholds out of Fort Charlotte and put that also in Killarney. Two sets of FNM Fort, FNM stronghold polling divisions. Some in the western area, and some what I call in the northeastern area, which is what I call the West Grove. And I said, why would they purposely put FNM stronghold polling divisions in Killarney? Who are they trying to help? The powers that be, of course. I'm not saying that a political party would do that to their own people. But they put two strong sets of what I call FNM strongholds, polling divisions into Killarney. Then now we're going back now to Fort Charlotte. So Fort Charlotte has been changed, the polling divisions here and there, because the outline. And I've noticed that they now brought into Fort Charlotte some parts of Beantown. I mean, most parts of Beantown is a PLP stronghold. And they move the FNM stronghold or whatever proponents they could get FNM support out of Fort Charlotte and put two polling divisions that are PLP strongholds into Fort Charlotte. And I asked the question, who are they trying to help? I wonder if anyone was taking note of this, right? Grand Bahama. I noticed also in Grand Bahama that Pine Ridge has also changed. And people would say, but Grand Bahama is a different scenario. But Pine Ridge has a PLP member of parliament. So I said, man, we know where her stronghold is and how she needs to win. But I see that, escapes me now, the constituency that the leader of the opposition, Michael Pintard, has been also divided. And I'm assuming that I would understand that they're trying to challenge the leader, right? But they move polling divisions that would usually support a Michael Pintard, no, the FNM. Polling divisions that would usually support the FNM, and they moved it into Pine Ridge. And I said, okay, I will try to talk with the leader of the opposition too. I said, man, if I get a chance to mash him up, I would change the polling division. But then they have a senior person in Pine Ridge. And I said, but why would they do that to their own? And I'm noticing that's two women they do it to. Right? I ain't saying nothing. Right? I'm just saying I'm noticing things. And I want to know if you are noticing things also that a manipulation of polling divisions, which I call to support certain set of people. Right? And basically, my word, endangering persons who I thought they would need more support and campaign help, whatever it is, risking those people. And I said, this is some interesting type of politics we're doing here. And I wonder if anyone else noticed this manipulation of polling divisions for whatever benefit. It doesn't bother me. But I said, I will mention it. So when the election comes about, and if things go awry, if things go different, right? I'm going to say, see it right there. Call you live. This is Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. How can I help you this morning?
Morning, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Question. Who chooses all divisions go?
What do you mean by chooses?
Who chooses?
The Constituency Boundary Commission.
Okay, and that's controlled by the government, right?
It is mostly government, but they have FNM representatives in the commission also.
Now, I have a theory, right? That philosophically, even if you're FNM, if you are a certain age, philosophically you are still a PLP in terms of how you think.
I would challenge you and say there's no philosophy in any of the political parties. They're all the same.
No. I'm not talking about the philosophy. I am not talking about the philosophy of the political party. I'm talking about the philosophy of the Irish Bohemian. Okay, you know, we are all...
I can pause you there and ask you, what is the philosophy of the Irish Bohemian?
Okay, we all dwell on the 1967...
I have no idea what you're talking about, 67. I born after that.
And that's the problem there.
No, you're confusing me. No, slow down. No, let's talk back and forth.
Okay.
You just say the majority of people adopt the philosophy of 67. I learned it more than most. I read a lot. I would even go as far as say I'm smart, right? I study history. The philosophy of 67 is lost to me. That doesn't bother me. So anyone who is born after 67, we call us born free people. That's what Janet Bostwick's name? John Bostwick can say we are born free people. That 67 agenda is not us. You come and say we have a 67 agenda, and I say the majority of us don't know 67. And then you change your story. You change your story. Say, see, that's what I mean.
No. I'm not changing the story. I didn't say we have a 67 agenda. I said we have a 67 philosophy.
What is that?
I was 14 in 1967. Right now I'm past 70. You know, so I got a good view of the political landscape. Okay? Now, politics being what it is, politicians tend to do what's in their best interests. Okay? Now, when you look at this thing with this boundary change and movements, right, in an attempt to maximize whatever they think will happen, my fear is that it's going to backfire because it's going to cause people to remember who they were and where they have voted historically all their lives. Now, it's a good move. In terms of, like, you know, if we were to say last year, but this year, we are in a whole different landscape, especially as far as what voters are demanding. I mean, you know, just this morning, right, there's a story in The Guardian about 8 names that had false passports, and those same names were found on the current register, right?
And I want you to go on with that, right? But I still want you to give the connectivity to 67. You haven't done that yet.
No. I'm trying to give you a context, Mr. Nuri.
Yeah, but I'm still trying to get the
since
reference.
You're not informed. Since simply because of your age.
See,
you are not informed.
I hear you. And I want to talk about what you want to talk about, no. But you mentioned 67 and culture and philosophy. You just haven't addressed it yet. It's a long conversation. I've given you some long time. But I can give you some more time.
Okay. I will put it in a context that you can understand. You know our white Bahamians, right?
Yes, I know white Bahamians.
Okay. You know that a huge percentage of them became millionaires after 67, right?
No, I don't know that, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah, no. Many of them expanded tremendously after 67 because, you know, even under their old regime, these guys were being held down. Okay, you know, I hang with a couple of them, so I know.
Are you able to call any kind of business so I can have some reference? Any kind of business so I can have reference, so yeah, understand.
Okay. See, when I'm talking about a PLP philosophy, that is what I'm talking about, basically.
And again, you know, still didn't see it, Colum. I'm hoping that you explain yourself, but you're confusing us.
No. See, you want to conflate philosophy and agenda.
I just want to understand what you mean by philosophy.
Okay. I'm trying to explain to you what I understand, but you are trying to case me on a side road.
I'm just saying that you're on the main road. You're doing a poor job. Poor job trying to explain it.
Okay. I'm doing a poor job. You're doing a poor job too.
Okay. But go ahead. That's why I'm giving you time, you know. You're just using your time constructively to explain this either Bahamian philosophy or the PLP philosophy. You haven't done none of that yet.
Okay. As early as 1967, 68, it was understood by members in the PLP that their party was off track, especially after 68. Okay? Now, when Ed Moxey had the thing in Coconut Grove that expanded and got bigger and bigger and bigger every year without any support from government at all, it was seen as a dangerous exercise in folks exercising a Bahamian philosophy. Okay? That thing we call the Coconut Grove Festival, its name was changed to what, Jumbe Village, and we took it on the western side of Blue Hill Road, where it did not prosper. After a couple of years, it would mow down. Now, if the philosophy that Ed Moxey and Oscar Johnson and Cecil Wallace Rifkin and them, if their philosophy, if that PLP philosophy they had was being exercised genuinely,
you still haven't identified what the philosophy is.
A Coconut Grove festival. It should have been established in every constituency in this country.
See, now you're politicking and moving away your point.
No. I'm talking about, because the Coconut Grove Festival did not rely on government support. It relied on Bahamians. And it expanded Bahamian culture and Bahamian participation in stuff. Hey, everybody came over the hill between 67 and 69. Okay? Because, you know, it was a philosophy they can understand. Now, we're still trying to get back to that in our politics. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm speaking about a Bahamian philosophy. We don't need...
It's a misnomer you're using now.
We don't need politics or politicians trying to explain to us what our culture should be. They see culture as a tool. We see culture as a way of life. And that is what I mean when I speak about a Bahamian philosophy. Now, You understand me now?
No, not at all. You lost me.
Well.
It was
well, but then
caller, I appreciate your attempt.
You need to get
your definition, your verbiage.
You need to research your own history.
No, I know history now.
I'm not. No.
You cited
parts. You are extremely naive in some areas, my brother.
Perhaps, but you did not explain what a philosophy means.
And you have said no. I have explained it.
You did.
I know a couple of folks listening on the. On the radio, understand what I am saying.
Then let them call into.
No, but see, like you say, right? Mm-hmm. The issue is the agenda, now, not the philosophy.
Okay.
Your words, not mine.
I hear you, caller.
All right.
I know you meant well. I hear you. I trying to have you explain what you said was a Bohemian philosophy, and then you said a PLP philosophy, and then you move on to agenda. And I don't know if you appreciate what the word philosophy means. I see you try to use some historic reference to align what you were saying. And I said, caller, you're going off track. I just need you to explain what the philosophy of the Bohemians are, right? And you say, oh, some politicians or Bohemians want to express themselves. And you said they don't have the right, even though they're Bohemians. See, it can get confusing, convoluted. Let's go to the callers again before I move on to the conversation. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio, AM, you're live.
Yeah, good morning, CA.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, CA, with you, man. I wasn't born in 67, man. So you give them a long, long time. Other people all in. And
yeah, forgive me.
Like you, I can see us.
Forgive me, caller. Forgive me. Because I tried my best to let him explain.
But let me say this. The only thing I agree with him with 67 is, gerrymandering was wrong from 67 to, if you look at the famous photo of Sir Milo and Sir Lyndon marching downtown with the placards in 66 or something, saying stop the gerrymandering and then the commission, stop fooling with the boundaries commission. Now, every party for the last 29, 30 years, was gerrymandering, fooling with the commission. But like the late Bradley Roberts always used to say, boundaries don't vote. People vote. Now, the government been changing for the last 5 years. And each one of those parties, the governing party, deal with the boundary, trying to cut the PLP out. They're trying to get Branwell McCartney to lose, or this one and Mike Hill, and trying to get Pintard to lose, taking the FNM out there and putting them out. They just do it in the by-election with Darren Pitchstock. They take some of brown people now and put it in St. James. Some of the effort they want, the PLP Lewis in this constituency. That was going off of 67.
Yes.
That's the only thing I agree with him. But the only thing I could say, what did late Bradley Roberts say? Boundaries don't vote. People vote. So government still being changing, even though they been changing up the boundary. So it, like you say it right. It only got backfire on them. All right, have a great morning.
Thank you very much, Colin.
Yeah.
And I want to know or find out why would they jeopardize risk some of their senior women, because I've noticed it, and I tend to speak out for women as much as I can and herald them as best as I can, right? And I'm noticing things, and I was wanting to know if anyone else notices things as they realign the boundaries, right, to for whatever agenda they realign it for, right? And I'm saying that I'm watching. I want to know if anyone else out there is watching. Right, there is a report today where the leader of the opposition table, or suggested, let me change the word now, suggested that there are some strange things are happening regarding the Bohemian passport. For a while, we've been saying, hey, Mr. Opposition, we hear your concern, but the integrity of the Bahamas may be at risk in terms of the verbiage you use. If you have specific examples of what you are saying, report it to the police. And if you're just trying to be generalizing in general, note that you may jeopardize the country without furnishing strong examples that we can use, right? That is a debate that we need to question. I know a number of Bohemians are concerned about the number of supposed migrants. It seems as if their numbers have increased. You hear anecdotal stories about people, Haitian migrants with passports, and there's an increase and proliferation of that. And I'm not sure if the current administration is addressing it properly. They may have an explanation for what's happening, but they are not addressing it satisfactory enough for the Bohemian people to deal with it. Callers, I see you all. callers, I see you all. I'm going to bring all y'all in on the next side of the conversation. Don't hang up if you're not on a cell phone. As soon as I come back, you'll be first, and I'll let you go on with the conversation. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
Now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So we'll be fine. What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Get set.
Track and field fans, it's that time. Time for the B3A Crypto Trials, March 20th through 22nd at the original Thomas A. Robinson Stadium. Come see the country's finest young athletes in blazing battles on the track and fierce field competition as they look to book their tickets to the 53rd Crypto Games in St. George's, Grenada on the Easter holiday weekend. Who will make the team to represent the Bahamas? Be there for the B3A Crypto Trials, March 20th through 22nd at the original Thomas A. Robinson Stadium. Competition starts at 5 p.m. on Friday, March 20th, and 3 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday, March 21st and 22nd. General admission, $12. Children under 12, $8. $20 VIP. Three-day passes are $34 general admission, $20 children under 12, and $58 for a three-day VIP pass. The B3A Crypto Trials, March 20th through 22nd. Don't you miss it.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Let's go to the phone lines to include the callers. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Good morning, CA. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning to you.
Awesome, awesome. I just joined in maybe about 10 minutes ago and kind of got a general gist. I especially love the conversation about the Jumbe Village aspect of it and then the boundary lines. Fortunately for me, I was privileged to have the opportunity to visit Jumbe Village in its early heydays, and I believe that it was a wonderfully conceived concept for the community. In fact, it did draw many diverse persons from across our population, both blacks, whites, visitors, everybody came out for that period of time, and you know, for a while we tried to understand. Why did that concept actually collapse after a period of time? You know, we really enjoyed going there. But it's just sad to see that what was supposed to be a form of bohemianization and also a representation of our culture just disappeared off the map. So, you know, that was something that was kind of interesting. The part with the boundaries, though, what is quite interesting is I wonder if through the changes in the boundaries, according to, you know, it seems the only time you really hear about the boundaries shifting is during election time. And I'm trying to understand what's the real practical purpose behind it besides trying to balance out the communities in terms of, hey, this number in this constituency is too large. Let's reduce that number, cut the line and put some of these people in another constituency, so on and so forth. But where's the statistical information that you know, kind of shows a reason why persons perhaps may have resided in this community and moved out of this community and moved into another community? Why did they leave? What is the purpose why they may have left that area? What research has been done to see that it would have encouraged people to move out, and what improvements, if it's an infrastructural consideration or whatever, what improvements have been made in that area toward people in numbers back to that area? So I'm basically looking at statistics, and sadly to say, this country does not keep good statistics at all, you know, especially trying to get something in a timely basis or as close to accurate as possible. That seems to be a problem here in this country. So that's just my 2 points. I just, you know, kind of put it out there for Bahamians to consider, because there's nothing you can do right now. And in fact, I just did it about 3 weeks ago, where I needed statistical information on crime from the Department of Statistics standpoint. And I just couldn't find accurate, up-to-date statistics for the information for why I needed the information. But anyway, thanks for taking my call, CA. I'll continue to listen.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Let's engage the second caller. One of the issues I found concerned with the listing that the leader of the opposition put in the House was a person listed said he was born in Haiti in 2012, right? They presented their father's document to say, well, they are entitled to Bahamian citizenship because their father was Bahamian. Then when you research it, you find out that the father's document was fraudulent, whatever documents they put in. Was fraudulent. Then I want to know what happened to the person who applied for the passport or for the citizenship. Were they deported? Were they rejected? What happens when we find out that someone presented false documentation to apply for any Bahamian document, passport or citizenship? Do they get a fine? Do they get a prison term and then release? We're seeing people getting bail. Surely they're supposed to be stopped on a stop list. Should be made public. His face should be plastered. So this is the person who used a fraudulent document, and we know what we're doing with them. We just don't know. They just seem to disappear. That information is not, the Bahamian people is not privy to. And I heard the passport people and the hearing their voter registration people saying when they get the information, they strike them off of the list. But what happens to the person? I will know about that. Let's go to the caller. Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. Go ahead.
Nuri.
Hey, you live.
Morning. Man, listen to me. You get me in a loop now. What should happen with the person? They need to find the person who get the person the document.
Okay, let's pause.
That's what they need to find.
I agree. But let's talk.
You know,
what should... Hold on. Let's talk. I'm going back and forth with you.
Yeah.
What should happen to the person who turned in the false document?
You need to find a way to get it from you.
Hold on. Are you asking ABC? I haven't reached that part yet. You only answered the first part. Let's start over. What should happen to the person who turned in the false documents?
They should be arrested.
Now I can go to the next question. And when they get arrested and we're doing our investigation, should we ask them where he get the false documentation from?
You're supposed to.
And if he helps in terms of finding out where the ring of who producing the false document, are we prepared to give him a lesser sentence in order to...
Yes, the lesser sentence that you give him, you add it on to the person who he got it from.
And so far, Have you? We've heard of people getting arrested and getting fined for presenting false document. But have you heard anything about the investigation of where they get the information from?
I haven't heard nothing about that as yet.
But see, this is where
they don't have a machine to print up a passport. See, the problem with the passport, you know, the passport is not illegal, you know.
The passport's legal.
The passport is legal.
Yes.
The person that has the passport is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to get it through some channel.
Yes. Some false documentation.
What I wanted to say, too, the thing with Muff said about Bradley Roberts. Bradley Roberts said you could change the line, but you can't change the people's mind. Don't blame him. He wrote in PLP.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back to, you started off with these boundaries cut on polling divisions coming out of Killarney.
Yes.
The Killarney constituency, let me concentrate on that first.
Mm-hmm.
Killarney has two FNM candidates. Now, which one of the FNM candidates had the most FNM votes? They'll come second.
Mm.
They'll come second. They can't win. They'll come second. Because they have to share all Ms. Robin Lyons have to do. It secured 37% to 40% of the votes as she win.
And this is my theory, and I hear you, and I accept that. Until I found a ship out where they had the PLP stronghold seats, where you sure to have the PLP support, they put that in St. James. So the people, hold on, the people who you would normally say these would be the PLP diehards in Killarney, they gone.
But let me say, if I had a chance to work on the Boundaries Committee, I would have almost do the same. See, you're not worrying, but the FNM's really like, I won't say you weren't worrying, but the FNM has an uphill, a battle fighting now between Dr. Minnis and Ms. Michael Abarnett Ellis. Them two have a fight on their own.
All
Robin Lyons has to do is hold her ground, hold her people, and she's driven.
My point is, her people in St. James. But you ain't hear me. But you gotta listen. Her people are now in St. James.
See?
Her people, who you're talking about, who she got a hold on, are now in St. James.
Come on, the PLP's all over the place.
See,
PLP has a base.
This is why we're doing the numbers.
Heaven or hell, you might find a PLP base.
You,
or an FNM base.
And I hear,
you. The FNM base has to now square in two. They need to figure the people who can have sympathy for Dr. Minnis, the people who can feel bad or the FNM treat Dr. Minnis, they can have a Dr. Minnis.
And they
the people who say this, FNM and they ain't going nowhere, they ain't care who they send, they gave it Ms. Barnett. That a PLP in between. They gave it the PLP. The PLP votes the English here.
And I agree with that until I found out they moved the PLP votes to St. James.
Yeah, I hear what you're trying to say.
There aren't any. There's a small.
That has to be made up. However you look, they can put FNM and PLP in St. James.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right? But what I wanted to say too, up in, you call another constituency other than Killarney, but I was holding on so long. You said something about Fort Charlotte.
Fort Charlotte. They moved two polling divisions from Beantown into Fort Charlotte and then move polling divisions out of what you call the West Grove into mm-hmm. Killarney.
Yeah, Killarney is, like I said, the FNMs in Killarney, if they for Dr. Minnis and they feel sorry for what they do, they going to vote for Dr. Minnis. See, this fight in Killarney ain't an FNM and a PLP fight, you know. There's a Minnis and a Michael Abarnett fight. Is them two trying to fight who could come second? They trying to see who could come second or them two. All Ms. Lyons has to do is secure 37% to 40% of the votes and she win automatic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All Dr. MacGyver can do in this race is get thank you for coming. She'll get about 400 votes the most if she get that
much. I believe Dr. MacGyver will get at least 9 to 10% of the votes.
She'll get no more than 400 votes.
No. That could be at least 700.
As a man to take chances, I'll take a chance with that with you.
I at least there's 700, 800 votes she's going
to get. Well, she gets 700. Well, I don't believe that she's going to get the most votes out of all of the COI candidates. I'm sure of that. She'll be able to secure the votes. She has launched
an awesome campaign in terms of
campaigning. Very impressive. They're better than the leader.
Pound for pound.
They're better than the leader.
Yeah, pound for pound. She must be given credit for that.
Yeah, you must give it to her. That's why he says she's running a better campaign than the leader of the COI.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Way better. She's running the best campaign in the group.
And she, I don't you know, have to give her respect
for the money that she has. And every day now, I hear next one in Elutra drop out the race.
It's two.
The COI.
It's two so far.
One drop out of being St. Barnabas. One drop out of Saudi Elutra. They just dropping down like before the fight started and falling out.
These things happen in politics.
Boy. But it'd be interesting. I can continue listening to you, though.
Thanks very much, Colin.
Yeah, man.
The line's full. Let's see if I can speed them up and get a lot of more people to participate. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio, AM, you live.
Hey, CA, what's up,
man? I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
All right, good. Let me ask you a question, right? From a voter standpoint, if I'm looking at a candidate, and I'm looking at a candidate trying to make a determination as to the viability of either, you know, giving him my vote, and let's say I have a candidate that in their declaration, or rather than say the candidate, the party, so let's just use party. And I noticed that in that party, you have more than 60 to 70% of the individuals that are for a position. And their asset is less than $55,000. Do you consider that a liability, them being a liability, or you consider that being something that should be given consideration?
Obama, I go back to Obama to explain my point. He was a community organizer. He didn't have much money, but his wealth was in his organization. His organization had money as he managed people and events. In contrast to the Bahamas, we have people who are making like $55,000, right? With no organization. They have no community building, no infrastructure to propel themselves forward to say, well, their wealth, and not financially, but their wealth is in people and managing people. They don't have that neither. So a person who making $55,000, a working class person with bills, who has no community organization and skills or entity to back them, their liability.
Right. And another point I just want to mention, and I'm just trying to understand it. In the last administration, I think there were individuals that declared their net worth less than $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
5 years later, we look at where that individual is now, or individuals are now. And we're not fools as locals. Living in $1 million-plus home and all these other things. This is why I say we need to take this thing serious. We need to understand that sometimes it would appear that it's better financially for persons who get in after they leave, whether they leave voluntarily or involuntarily, apparently financially, they're in a super position. So should that be an incentive for people to run in politics? Because it seems as though they're in a better financial position than when they were before they exited. 5 years later, some people are millionaires. And in a real world, we don't even understand a question because how can that happen? They need to tell us the secret.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Shingles is fixed of many roofs. That's all I can say. Shingles has fixed many roofs. Let's go to the next caller there. Patch the caller through to me, Permit. Guardian Radio, AM, you live.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Here?
I'm doing well.
You know, I think the PLP women have done this to themselves. And let me quantify what I'm saying. That the Prime Minister wife got up a couple of months ago in the media and said that this matter ought to be looked at or ought to be passed in the media.
Mm-hmm.
Which PLP woman get up to defend them? May get up to defend that statement or whether it need to be amendment or any adjustment or anything. Not
None.
A single one of them.
PLP women don't speak for women's rights. They don't speak at all.
I can just gonna ask you, how many PLP women you heard speak about women's rights or speak about children's rights? How many how many kids being molested or being in an incest relationship with their parents or guardian and so forth, and not mark the word from the women in the PLP.
They're in an all-boys club. They are ontologically men.
Yeah, so it doesn't surprise me that the PLP itself pushed the PLP women aside because they haven't spoken up for themselves, so why should someone else speak up for them? And let me just add also, I call it from Grandmama. The PLP, they will not win one seat in Grandmama. No matter how much they move the line, they will not win one seat. And the reason why, because the PLP have done nothing in the last 4.5 years that they can touch that say the PLP left or the PLP did. When the F&M government left, the F&M left the money in the bank for the hospital. Dr. Davos said, we sent the money back. Didn't say we used it somewhere else, said we sent the money back. They left the deal on the table for the hotel and the airport. The deputy prime minister said it was a bad deal, so we cancel it. A part of that deal was the cruise port in Paradise Island. That cruise port is now open and functioning. He would have had a functioning airport, a functioning hotel, if they had left that cruise port, left that Alakaya deal in place. So the PLP has done grave damage to Freeport and the people in Freeport. Now they're picking a fight with the Port Authority and picking a fight with the power company. You can't manage your own power grid. Your own government departments are failing. Bahamas here, PH, all these government entities are failing. And still you want to try to take on the next one? Get out of town. I'll hang up and continue to listen.
Yes. Because of what the government, the PLP administration, has done to Grand Bahama, Pine Ridge, West End, is at risk. They need to speed up and do something soon, something tangible soon, because Pine Ridge, and West End is now at risk, right? I have a text said, remember Robin Lyon? She speaks it all the time. I don't think that she's a member of parliament. I was talking about member of parliament women. They don't speak out. And hopefully, if Ms. Robin Lyon win Killarney, I don't think her political party's helping at all, right? They're sacrificing her, moving the boundaries. Perhaps she would be one MP that would speak out and defend women and young girls, defend them in terms of the society in general. Hopefully that happens. Let's go to the caller. Guardian Radio AM, the CA Neri. Go ahead, caller. Call you live. Let's move on to the next one. Guardian Radio AM, you live. Call you there. We clearing all the lines? We clearing all the lines. I'm just saying that I'm noticing some things, especially with the boundaries. Things that I think the Progressive Liberal Party should be doing to protect their women, I don't think they're doing, especially I highlight two female candidates where I said, why risk them? Why manipulate the boundaries and risk them? You're supposed to give them sure opportunities to win. I said, I have noticed it. I'm not sure if they have noticed it. But let's see if I can squeeze these callers in. Guardian Radio AM, you live. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, you live.
Okay. This is Tracy, but it's quite impossible, all right? Hello?
Yeah, you're live. Go ahead.
Okay. I think this issue under the Affleck administration, because what's happening now, they found them up because these guys tried to lure them. You just can't issue a bar for this year and found out a budget. This had this issue was 8 to 9 years ago. This ain't nothing new. They just found out, of course, when you go to get reviewed, then they found out it's fraud. That's how they found out. That's why it's in the system now. Thank you.
Well, that's plausible. That's plausible. I just don't. I think we have a problem. I need someone to acknowledge that we do have a problem so we can address the problem. I don't think that a number of our leaders see it as a problem that we're going through right now, and that is concerning about me. Let's go to this last caller. Caller, Guardian Radio AM, you live. Call you there? Call again once. Call again twice. Okay, that caller's going. I'm just saying that a number of things we need to address. A number of things we need to be more analytical about, purposeful about. The caller called back now at the end. Let's see if we can squeeze them in, caller. They calling like crazy. Seem like. Go ahead, caller. I'm trying my best to let you contribute. Go ahead.
See? Hello.
Go ahead. You live. Go ahead.
Hi, morning. You addressing with the PLP. With the PLP, the
we need something. You need to do a show on who is looking out for the disabled. A lot of disabled people out there, and they're hurting, but nobody's talking about what they're going to do for the disabled. Come on, man, you need to do a show for the disabled, man.
The disabled need to organize themselves and protest downtown. When will y'all organize yourself and say, we will not tolerate what's happening to us? Block the House of Assembly with your wheelchair.
What happened to the council, man? The council fall up. What happened to the council?
You remember?
The council is closed down and you can't get no answers. Who have the keys for the country? You can't even open it to house meetings or nothing like that. Come on, man, disabled people
out here,
take
a vote, do it. I agree, ma'am. And hopefully we'll continue to lobby on your behalf. I remember when they moved the money from the disabled people and pay for Obi Wilshcombe Memorial Service. No, y'all ain't make no noise. Y'all ain't complain. It was my money.
Permission to do, but we need help also.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I need to have a show on the disabled population or physically challenged population and find out how we can assist them in general, how we can lobby for opportunities and monies and in general for them. Anyway, it's time to go. I see they're having more press conferences at the office of the Prime Minister. Every other day they have a press briefing. Every other day. Anyway, has been Guardian Radio AM with CA News. You have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.